morning, and welcome to the WINY Talk Show. It's time for you to be heard. The talk show welcomes everyone's calls once per hour. Dial 928-1350 and tell Northeastern Connecticut your story.
Good morning, Northeastern Connecticut, and welcome to the WINY Talk Show. I'm your host, Bob Young. Great to be with you on a pleasant morning in Northeastern Connecticut today. Now, nice morning to get outside and move around and do something, although, you know, my usual admonition, take us with you when you go. There's a lot of ways to do that. But I am told that this weather is going to change this weekend and turn hot again. So, enjoy our outdoor activities while we can. We are joined this morning by a number of guests that all have one thing in common. They're from Day Kimball Healthcare. And good morning, Bob Smanek, CEO of Day Kimball.
Good morning, Bob.
How are you doing?
Terrific.
Good.
You said it's a beautiful day today.
It is. And Representative Dan Rivero is here this morning. Good morning, Dan. Good to see you again.
Very good to see you, and good morning to everyone.
Okay. And we also eventually will be joined by Paul Baldwin, who I don't know whether to congratulate you or extend my sympathies.
Thank you,
who's,
Bob.
Who's the new CFO of Day Kimball Healthcare, and Kristen Willis, who's the development director. We'll get acquainted with them before the hour is over. But let's start out here. It was almost like watching a reality show, you know, all year. You know, Day Kimball's on the ropes. No, it isn't. Day Kimball's on, I'm talking financially now.
Right.
On the rope. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. And then finally, I guess you might feel saved by the bell when the legislature is no longer in session. But has the dust cleared? And if it has, what do things look like now, Bob?
Correct. Well, first of all, although we often paint with a wide brush, I am honored to be sitting next to Representative Rivero. And as he and his colleagues have worked tirelessly on behalf of our community, and specifically Day Kimball, he clearly plays an active role in this. What I'm pleased to announce today is sort of the conclusion of the episode with Connecticut hospitals in the state fiscal year, which ended in June. And it was in the latter part of June that we actually received the balance of the what are termed supplemental funds.
So you got the money?
Yes, all right. We got the money. About $2.9 million, which, as you pointed out, was a bit of a roller coaster, to put it mildly, in the past year. With that money arriving, it does allow Day Kimball to represent, through its 8 months of activity, a black bottom line for the first time in a number of years. So it is incredibly important money to us, and the uncertainty made it very difficult to plan, and we received it. But again, I hope we talk a little bit about the legislative process, because it really reflected the importance of a voice in our state legislature.
Okay, because my next question, and I suppose I would direct this to Dan, and I think Bob answered it. He said, I've got the money. So the $20 million or $22 million in additional cuts that the governor is authorized to make, I understand, will not impact Day Kimball, correct?
Correct.
Because they got the money.
They got the money.
Right.
Almost all your hospitals received the money this year.
Right. Okay. All right. So that's not an issue.
Right.
All right. Good. And so I got to assume that it's a combination of that money and the adjustments you made.
Correct. There's been an enormous amount of work that's been undertaken at the organization to try to reduce expenses, to enhance services where we can grow patient services, and with that comes the financial benefit of that. So an enormous amount of work, and every dollar counts, and this is really helpful. And again, I really want to take a moment, if I may, and thank the community and Danny Rivero, Representative Randall, and Senator Flexer, because clearly hospitals find themselves very closely aligned with the political process. You know, there's a fair amount of government programming that goes to pay for health care for residents in Connecticut. And we have to be mindful of that. And in the struggles that the state is facing in trying to manage its budget, it is incredibly important that we have a strong voice. Danny, always a strong voice. We all know that. He was incredibly active with the other two representatives, again, Senator Flexer and Representative Randall. And what they were able to help spearhead, in addition to ensuring that the monies get properly allocated, was a limit on what can be cut in the future. And it's a technical provision, perhaps, but just in generalities, what it means is by separately identifying these dollars for hospitals, it limits the ability to cut them more than a rescission authority of 5%. And in the past, the way it was set up, the entire allocation of funds to this line item could be, in fact, stricken. And so going forward...
By the governor on his own authority.
Correct.
Correct?
Yeah, the administration, and you're right, in the rescission authority. So not only did they work to ensure that we got the money that was, in a sense, promised to us in this past year, but they set a tone now that will help stabilize our planning going forward.
Okay. So you can handicap the 5%, assuming the disposition of whoever is occupying the governor's mansion.
Correct.
But yeah, that does lend more predictability to the process, and that's probably a good thing. Danny, anything to add there?
No, not really. It does make a big difference. In other words, before the governor had the authority to cut 5% of the entire social end of it, which was $2.5 billion. So he'd come back, like he told Dave Kimball, we're going to cut you $4 million. Well, with the new law that was passed by the legislature and spearheaded by Senator Flexer and myself and Randall and a few others, now that's separated. So Dave Kimball, for instance, I think it comes to the most they could get cut, which is an awful lot of money, but it's about $400,000 now.
Right.
And that's a big difference.
It's better than $4 million.
Yes. And you know, I think it's time to say a big thank you to Dave Kimball Hospital, its employees, and all the people in the 10-town area who helped to support the hospital. You know, I can't tell you how many emails they sent me. I went to the governor's office with the petition. With I forget how many signatures. So it helped to show that the support was behind Dave Kimball Hospital. You know, I think we have people in Hartford convinced that Dave Kimball is so important to our area, because not only because of the jobs, because of the health aspects of the area. I mean, if Dave Kimball's not here, you got 45 minutes to another hospital. As I know, and a lot of other people know, 45 minutes is too long. You're not going to make it. So I think Hartford really realizes now that Dave Kimball might be all by themselves. It's in the corner. It's so valuable to all the people, not only the employees that work there. I mean, when you talk about employing 1,000 people, it's the biggest generator of employment in the 10-town area.
Right.
But it's also a health thing. I mean, you know, till you're sick, you don't realize how valuable your health is. So I can't thank Dan Kimball Hospital and all its employees who gave up a lot to come out of this hole. I mean, I know a lot of them complained a little bit at the time, but they said it's better than not having a job. So I got to thank everybody, all the way from the top to the bottom, and the people in the area for supporting Dan Kimball Hospital. And it's not only today. We have to keep up this support in the future, because we want Dan Kimball to stay there.
All right, because The fiscal year we're talking about is already gone.
Correct.
And the new
Correct.
One is here.
Correct.
And after the election in November, it's a biennial budget year. So here we go again.
That's
you
right.
know? But with the limit there of 5%, at least I got to believe it's not going to be as taxing as it was this year. Let me ask you this. We've had a number of conversations, and it's the in thing to do. For various reasons, for hospitals to seek to merge with larger outfits. And I know that you've been exploring that over time. Where are we with that? Do you know?
Well, at this moment in time, what the board has instructed management is really focus on strengthening ourselves, kind of returning ourselves to a solid financial position, work on enhancing our services before we really re-enter any specific discussions with a system. Also keep in mind that a big component of the sort of disruption in earlier talks was the impact of the cuts and the uncertainty even on the big systems within Connecticut. So
right.
At this point, we're staying focused on what we do and on the community, but remaining open to and aware of the importance of working with systems. The other thing I would say, just as a reflection of that, is the aftermath of conversations, we are able to, and we have an agreement with Yale Health System for purchasing. So we're able to avail ourselves of the scale of purchasing that Yale and its system represents. It's a contractual arrangement, so it's not an ownership arrangement. But our projection, and we've done quite a bit of review of this, is probably $500,000 in savings just for being able to connect with a larger systems purchasing power. So there's an example, and that's just gone into place.
That's thinking out of the box.
Right.
I mean, on part of, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a brief break,
okay,
and then we'll come back and we'll continue this discussion.
What I found amazing is how well I can hear the birds again.
I actually feel better about myself. I don't have to guess what people are saying anymore. It's so nice not to make people repeat themselves all the time.
This is Ralph Campagna with Amplisound Hearing Care Centers. The joy of hearing has been our motto since the 1980s, and we can make better hearing a reality for you too. We have helped people just like you who are concerned about the cost and the vanity associated with hearing aids. Take the first step today and come and see us for a hearing evaluation. If desired, we can offer a test drive of our latest digital hearing systems.
With offices in Putnam, Danielson, and Vernon, and a full manufacturing and repair facility at the Danielson location, Amplisound makes better hearing simple, affordable, and enjoyable. This is a great time for you to rediscover the joy of hearing. Call today, 860-779-6500. Amplisound, great hearing, excellent value, nearly invisible.
Planning a funeral is one of life's most difficult challenges. Yet virtually every culture recognizes the importance of commemorating the life and loss of a loved one with a meaningful ceremony. Hello, this is Bob Fournier, owner and funeral director of the Gilman Funeral Home in Putnam and the Vallad Funeral Home in North Grosvenor Dale. Funerals don't just signify a life that has ended. They signify that a life was lived and loved. Funerals offer survivors the opportunity to mourn their loss amongst family and friends and to begin the healing process. But what kind of funeral service should you choose? Since no two people are alike, no two funerals should be alike. At the Gilman and Vallad Funeral Homes, we understand the importance of personalizing a funeral. We'll guide you step by step and help you create a meaningful event that celebrates your loved one's unique life and helps the bereaved cope with their loss. Planning a funeral is one of life's most difficult challenges. Let us, the staff at Gilman and Vallad Funeral Homes, be your personal guide.
Do you have a story to tell? Call the WINY Talk Show now. Our telephone lines are open. Call 928-1350.
Ricky, don't lose that number. It's the only one you own. You might use it if you feel better. When you get home.
We are back on the WINY Talk Show, and it's Dave Kimball Hospital Day. All right, Bob Smanek, you've got some, there was one more thing you wanted to add.
Right, I think it, as a lead-in to an opportunity to introduce our additional guests this morning, you know, with all the challenge and uncertainty that we've talked about over the past months, it's always nice to be able to point to the influx of new individuals, new talent to our community, and I'm thrilled to be able to announce to the community that we do have a new full-time, young, recently trained obstetrician coming to join us, Lindsay LaCourte. She'll be joining us by the end of this summer. And we have a new family medicine physician joining the Danielson group. So a lot more change than we're used to in healthcare with physicians coming and going, but it's nice to see that together we can attract and recruit talent coming in.
And I recall a conversation we had several months back where you said OB was
right.
a glaring tough spot.
Right. Yes.
And it's one that you had to fill.
A critical recruit. So
and
we're
primary care is
yes.
becoming more and more difficult.
Yes, it is. In the medical specialty world, primary care is not compensated at the same level as specialists. Their responsibilities are 24/7. And they're not training enough of them.
And I'm told that enrollments at medical school in general are down.
I believe so. Yeah, I mean, we are blessed in this state to have Quinnipiac opening up a program in the last couple of years. But again, there just aren't enough physicians to cover what the community or what the country needs.
Okay. Well, I didn't know whether to extend Mr. Bodwin my congratulations or my sympathy in being Chief Financial Officer. Paul, what would you like the community to know about yourself?
Sure.
What's your background?
Actually, I'm very excited to be here at Day Kimball. This is week two for me.
Go ahead.
And so I'm a native Rhode Islander. Other than a brief three-year stint in Massachusetts, I've worked in Rhode Island in the healthcare industry in Rhode Island my whole career. I've worked in community hospitals my whole career. And so I'm really passionate about the role of the community hospital like Day Kimball in the healthcare delivery system. My most recent position was the Chief Financial Officer over Kent Hospital in Warwick, Rhode Island, as well as Memorial Hospital in Pawtucket. That was a hospital that joined the Care New England health system 3 years ago. So my responsibility was Chief Financial Officer over both those facilities. So I'd worked at Care New England for 18 years, Chief Financial Officer at Kent, and most recently at Memorial. So 13 years of CFO experience. And again, I'm excited to be here. I think what Day Kimball brings to the community is very important in the healthcare delivery system. Rhode Island, while maybe a little bit easier, the healthcare environment in Rhode Island very similar. Going through
you
many.
You anticipated my next question. You bring a perspective from a couple of states, and what I wanted to know was whether or not the challenges that Day Kimball and Connecticut hospitals face are shared by hospitals in Rhode Island. Is this a systemic type thing, or is it peculiar to us?
Yeah, no, it's. I would say it's very systemic. Many, especially in the Northeast, many of the states in New England and the Northeast, going the hospitals going through very similar challenges with budget cuts, Medicaid cuts in Rhode Island. Year after year, we were receiving less and less reimbursement from the state for the services we provided. So Day Kimball has been facing many of the same challenges that the hospitals, small and big, in Rhode Island certainly have been facing and continue to face.
Okay. And we also have Kristen Willis. Did I butcher your name, Kristen?
No, you did not. That's perfect.
Okay. And you are, your specific title is what?
Director of Development.
What's that? What does that entail?
That entails community engagement, philanthropy, volunteerism, and bringing all of those together in support of Day Kimball Hospital.
Okay.
Healthcare.
All right. Were you an in-house hire, or did you, like Mr. Bodwin, come from somewhere else?
I actually came. I'm a homegrown person here, born and raised in northeastern Connecticut, born at Day Kimball, raised in Woodstock. I spent the majority of my career at Woodstock Academy building their development program. So for 13 years, I was the director of development at Woodstock Academy. And then I moved on to the UConn Foundation, where I was responsible to cover all of the health science schools and colleges, along with Farmington and Dempsey Hospital. So when this opportunity arose, I had set my sights basically on getting involved in the healthcare arena and fundraising, and this opportunity was absolutely perfect for me. There was no question in my mind that I should apply for an opportunity to actually serve my own community hospital.
Okay. And what is your biggest challenge going forward as you see it?
I see it as a great challenge and a great opportunity and an exciting one right now. To kind of reiterate the discussion that's gone on this morning, it would be devastating to lose access to our community hospital and the services that it provides in the entire healthcare system that we have. And the events over the past year, primarily the show of community support and advocacy that took place, speaks volumes to me as to how our constituents feel about Day Kimball Healthcare. And it's also a testament as to how committed the community is to protecting one of its most valuable assets. And that's what I believe philanthropy is all about. It's as much about advocacy and volunteerism as it is about financial support. Without impassioned and committed constituents, volunteers, and donors, there's very little to build upon in terms of a foundation for fundraising. But I believe that that foundation is very strong here, and my intention is to build upon that.
Yeah, it's actually probably a good time to fill the position you're in, because there has been a lot of public support was galvanized over the last year or two or so, given the challenges, very public challenges that our hospital faced. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take another break, and it looks like we have a call. We'll come back and maybe take some questions. We'll be right back.
Y'all ready for this?
Putnam Recreation Summer Basketball Camp for boys and girls ages 5 to 15 is coming to Putnam Middle School for 1 week, July 25th through the 29th. Basketball camp runs from 9 to 1 each day for 5 days. The cost is $50 for Putnam residents and $65 for non-residents, and includes a t-shirt. Space is limited, so sign up now at the Putnam Recreation Department at the Putnam Town Hall. Download forms at putnamct.us. Summer Basketball Camp starts Monday, July 25th. Sign up now.
Corpus Credit Union, CPCU.
This is it. You're finally ready to start the home buying journey. But before you head out to look for the home of your dreams, your first stop should be Core Plus Credit Union. Because once you've found the one, you're going to want to move right in.
Hi, I'm Barbara Zenjon, Real Estate Lending Manager at CPCU. And along with your realtor, I'll help you move in quicker. Come meet with me before you start your search, and we'll take care of your pre-approval. Then, with our easy one-page application, quick local decisions, and lots of options to fit your family, we'll have you settled in and enjoying your new home much faster. With fixed rates and low down payments, start at coreplus.org.
Smart banking, community trusted, Core Plus Credit Union. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Core Plus, oh yeah. Core Plus.
Core Plus Credit Union.
Credit Union.
Core Plus Credit Union. CPCU.
Sleep disorders are common but often go undiagnosed, leading to potentially serious health effects, including a greater risk of high blood pressure, heart attack, stroke, and other conditions. This is Lisa French, Sleep Disorder Center and EEG EMG Manager at Day Kimball Hospital. If you're not getting 7 to 9 hours of restful sleep each night, first try creating a quiet and relaxing routine in the hour before bedtime to tell your mind and body it's time to sleep. Take a warm shower or read a book, and stay away from phones, computers, and other electronic devices. The type of light they emit signals your brain to stay awake. If you're still not getting restful sleep, you may have a sleep disorder, especially if you snore. Talk with your primary care doctor or visit daykimball.org/sleep.
This Medical Minute is brought to you by Day Kimball Healthcare, where we're changing to better serve Northeast Connecticut. For more information, visit daykimball.org/newday.
Do you have a story to tell? Call the WINY Talk Show now. Our telephone lines are open. Call 928-1350.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
We are back on the talk show with our representatives of Day Kimball Hospital. And it looks like we have a call, so let's take a look at this. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good, Susan. How are you?
Good. Now, to the coordinator, I'm Susan Mercier. I recently went to the hospital several times for pneumonia. I believe that you could save millions of dollars on your protocol if you change your protocol. First of all, patients who usually go in there, the older ones like me, I'm 59.
That isn't old.
Yeah, well, you know, we know at that age what's wrong with us, what medicines do and don't work. First of all, I want to tell you why I'm telling you this. I went in for pneumonia. I spent 9 hours in the hallway in front of the desk. I am allergic. I have asthma, and exhaust fumes really bother me. Well, the ambulance kept coming in, the doors kept opening. I didn't even have a room. And they found out earlier, only in a couple of hours after they did the x-rays, that I did have pneumonia. So instead of giving me what I told them, I was allergic to penicillin, the only thing that works is erythromycin, it's in my records, they went through everything, and my high blood pressure was high. Of course, I'm spending, by then I was like 8 hours into it. And then I have diabetes, so I had a sugar problem. Well, when I'm sick, I was drinking the juice because I wasn't well. By the time I had a friend with me who stood up and started to scream because I was so sick. I was 100 times worse from sitting in that hallway. And they kept playing the game like, well, we're going to keep you here till your sugar goes down. And I said, no, I need to go home. I need to get out of here. And then they said, well, the insurance allows them, I guess, 3 days or so in the hospital to bring your sugars down and your blood pressures. These are things that people can do, and we know we can do them at home. And your blood pressure is always high when you're facing doctors. Sitting in where I was sitting, the place was huge. I mean, it was totally redone, and I was sitting in a hallway. And I was suffering because there were so many patients. It was on a Monday, and it was a busy. I got to say, they were busy. But you need to look into your protocol with what they're doing and how they hold people, and you people would get in and out a little faster.
So you wanted to leave, Susan, and they weren't allowing you to leave. Is that what you're telling me?
And they tried. They want to hospitalize you for a couple of days, and I said, no, I'm going home. I played that game before. They didn't listen to me. They gave me the wrong antibiotics the first time. I ended up the second time. That's why in 2012 and 13, I ended up in the hospital. So
okay.
This time I took my own initiative, and I had a friend stay with me. And he was sitting in the hallway with me, and he was gasping because these people who are working there have fumes coming in and out of them all day. They're going to end up with lung problems. The workers there, as well as every patient, when they open up that door and bring that ambulance in, those exhaust fumes go immediately into that area, and it fills it. There's no vent for it to go anywhere. That's
okay.
The first problem, one of the biggest problems there. It concerns not only the patients in the hospital, but the people who literally sit at that desk, that round table, which I sat at. For 9 hours, I did not have any food because they said my sugar was high. But there was pizza. There was a stack of pizza sitting there. I was starving. I was being exhaust fumed. People should never be parked in front of those doors, ever.
Okay. All right, Susan, thanks.
For safety, think something for them to think about. And, Bob, I'll see you later on when you leave work, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Okay. All right, she's going to see me later on. I know the ER has been redone. And
correct.
It's a nice new facility.
Yes.
So
it's basically doubled in size.
It sounds like a dispute between a patient who wanted to leave the hospital and the medical staff who said not yet, you know?
Correct.
And I've been in that situation, and I always defer to the to the people in charge.
Sure.
I hang around.
You know, there needs to be a clear communication between the patient and the staff. And
right.
It sounds like in this case there was some something that got in the way of that, perhaps. The other, I just want to reassure the caller and the community, actually time spent in the emergency room, both for patients who can leave and go back home or those who have to be admitted to the hospital, is continually studied and evaluated, you know, call it lean management techniques. It's broken down by steps. We understand the importance of making sure that there's timely care and we minimize the downtime. And, you know, sometimes in a case in any emergency room, when there's an influx of patients, you just have to deal with what presents itself.
It's nice to see a little bit more elbow room there because, you know, as a former orderly, you know,
right.
Which I did when I was in college, just trying to, not at Day Kimball, but in Boston hospitals, it was, you know, space to just move these people around.
Correct.
And for the staff to move around is very important. And that's one of the huge improvements that you've made.
I agree. And I think,
you know,
for the most part, we're able to get individuals into a private room. We're able to separate patients according to their clinical needs, particularly those who are having any kind of behavioral health or psychotic event, that we can have them in a proper area. So, yes, I think there's a lot of improvements, but we're only as good as the next patient that we take care of.
I agree. All right. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, it's me.
Hi.
For the new CFO, do you know what, in Connecticut, what percentage as a surcharge are tacked on to private insurance to compensate for Medicaid or uninsured patients?
Yeah, again, really just being my second week here in Dade Kimball and second week in Connecticut, I don't have those specifics.
Right. And if I may, this is Bob Smanek. If I may just offer a perspective on that. The way that the system works, we are required to negotiate specific rates with the insurance carrier, so there is not a given single rate. And obviously, in our negotiations with them, we need them to recognize that these are very real costs to the organization and that we must turn to the commercially insured. So the actual amount does vary by type of service and by insurance carrier.
But what you're collecting or not collecting from a Medicaid patient, is that really relevant to a negotiation with, say, Anthem Blue Cross? I wouldn't. If I were Blue Cross, I'd be saying, what's that got to do with anything?
Well,
you know,
the difference between what it really costs us and mm-hmm. what the state will pay us
right.
is an expense to the organization.
Okay.
And to the extent that we need across all the patient population to end up with a balanced or slightly positive,
all right.
it becomes a real cost.
Okay.
And I say this, Bob, because I'm a retiree of Aetna.
I know.
And as a retiree of Aetna, I had to take training once a year and certify that I took the training to be familiar with the New York State surcharge. I never had to take training for Connecticut surcharges or any other state, but we have
sure.
to be knowledgeable about New York surcharges. And when I last left Aetna, that surcharge was approximately 17%. So
okay.
if you have a shortfall on indigent patients or Medicaid patients, people who have private insurance through their employer wind up paying 17% more. They're basically covering the charge for Medicaid. And I know from you know, previous discussions on the talk show and, you know, from what I read, your OBGYN department, half of your population is on Medicaid.
Correct.
That's 5 out of 10.
Right.
So.
And, right. you know, I do a lot. I'm on Facebook a lot, and I see every day a lot of these young women in Danielson and around this area who are having one kid after another. There's one girl, 26 years old. She's on her fourth pregnancy, and all the children have different fathers.
Well, that's another social problem for another day.
I'm just wondering, does the hospital partner with other agencies to reduce this kind of, in my opinion, irresponsible behavior and costly to the community and to the taxpayer behavior?
Well, our obstetrician gynecologists, I know, have conversations with patients on an ongoing basis as to their reproductive health as well as general health. And so I'm sure that there's that conversation that's taken place sort of in the treatment room, that patient-physician relationship. But otherwise, the organization stands ready to address patient needs as they present themselves.
And one last thing that I would like to see happen in your organization. If a patient has a dispute about their care, I'd like to see there be an organized committee where that person can take his or her complaint and have it addressed appropriately and in a timely manner, rather than calling the head of this department, the head of this department, and you know, getting meetings together and everything like that. It's a hodgepodge. As far as I can see, you have no formal grievance process. And I'd like to see a committee established where a person that has a grievance is able to make an appointment and is listened to completely and thoroughly, and his or her concerns are addressed, rather than having to, that patient, while they're having, you know, physical challenges and maybe behavioral challenges, have to make calls to all kinds of different people at the hospital to get their concerns addressed. And that never happens because these department heads are busy. They think you're a crackpot lots of the time because you're making these calls. There should be a formal...
Let's find out.
I go to the hospital and I have a problem, either with a staff member or, you know, any problem. What do I do?
First of all, you can alert anyone who is providing care to you that you have a concern and you wish to have it addressed immediately, and we have patient advocate who can come to you and listen to what the concern is and try to address it right
at
that time.
Is that a full-time employee, patient
yes,
advocate?
Yes.
Okay, how many? One?
One.
Okay.
In our
All
organization.
Right. Okay.
And in fact, that's the person who heads up our in a sense, patient called complaint process. So it is very formalized. It's managed out of our quality department, which can be reached at quality@daykimball.org. The extension at the hospital is 2208. And so I am, concerned that formality and the protocols that do exist are not evident in this case. And, we're committed that if there is a concern that needs to be addressed, that it gets addressed.
Hey, I got to move along. Thanks
right.
a lot for the call.
Thank
Very
you.
Informative.
Right.
All right. I'm going to check out the weather, and I'll be right back.
The forecast for northeastern Connecticut, sunny and seasonable today, 80 to 85. Clear tonight, 56 to 63. Sunny near 85 tomorrow, and on Friday, partly sunny, hazy, hotter, more humid. Afternoon thunderstorms, 85 to 90. Then mostly sunny, hot, and humid Saturday and Sunday. Highs both days near 90. This is WINY meteorologist Bill Jacquemin.
Thank you, William. The temperature at Broadcast House is a comfortable 75 degrees.
Yeah, the TV went out last night. Daddy's going to get a new one today.
We often replace TVs and other electronics as soon as something goes wrong. Your smoke and carbon monoxide alarms are no different. When's the last time you replaced the alarms in your home? Kidde is worry-free smoke and CO alarms have a sealed-in lithium battery, offering 10 years of protection and eliminating late-night low-battery chirp for the life of the alarm. Don't wait. Buy Kidde is worry-free alarms today at the Home Depot. Kidde, technology that saves lives.
Napa know-how!
Napa's celebrating the most important things we can think of: America, racing, and freedom, by giving you a free patriotic racing cap for spending $25 at Napa. And for every hat given away, we'll donate a dollar to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. Help us celebrate America, racing, and freedom with a free Napa patriotic racing cap. That's Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 7/31/16.
Sign up now for the free football and cheerleading clinic for boys and girls ages 5 to 15. Northeast Opportunities for Wellness presents a comprehensive football and cheerleading clinic this Sunday, July 24th from 1:30 to 4:30 at Killingly High School. Coaches from area high schools and the New England Patriots cheerleaders head coach will work with your kids at this free clinic. Sign up now at nowinmotion.org for the free football and cheerleading clinic going on this Sunday from 1:30 to 4:30 at Killingly High School.
Do you need to fill positions at your business? Times have changed. These days, most people are online clicking to find new opportunities. Let the WINY Help Wanted Exchange assist you in finding your new employees using our website, on-air promotion, and social media. Call Carrie Price at 860-928-1350 today to learn more.
So see what's going on at WINYradio.com.
Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Call the WINY Talk Show now and offer your opinion and ideas at 928-1350. Call now and be heard.
Operator, or could you help me place this call?
All right, we're back on the WINY Talk Show with Day Kimball Hospital, and good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning. It's
How
ironic.
Are you?
It's not bad. It's ironic you have this subject today.
Why?
Because we were in Worcester at UMass yesterday, and every time we go up there, we say the best system that they have is the blue card. So it cuts down on a lot of paperwork. It's like a charge card. So you go there, they ask you for your blue card, they stamp it on all your paperwork.
Oh, you mean when you first register, they hand you a card?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you only
okay.
do this once. As long as your information is correct on that blue card, you don't have to register all the time. You go right to where your appointment is or your doctors are, and they ask you for your blue card, and you stamp it. So that would cut down on a lot of congestion signing in mm-hmm. at the hospital or all the facilities that Day Kimball Hospital owns. Say PT.
they would go in. There were less record errors by they stamped your blue card. So they say, well, we have your blue card on file here today that was stamped.
Yeah, they do that at Farmington, too.
Yeah. And it's a really neat idea.
But these are big places. Both
yeah,
of them.
But well, you know what?
You know. I'm not, you know, what do you think about that, Bob?
Yeah, I think we're all attempting to get to that single sign-on unified medical record, if I may. You know, the one real advantage that we've had for a couple of years with our medical group is there's basically one chart. So if you see your primary care physician and you go see one of our specialists that are in the practice, you know, it's a unified chart, so it helps tremendously in communication.
It's paperless too, isn't it?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
The issue that we face with anything like a blue card, twofold. One is we have different systems in place at the moment, it's expensive to try to have a unified system. It's, again, I think the direction we're all going. But the other is it's amazing how many individuals in a given community. Their address changes, their insurance changes, they're in insurance, they're out of insurance. So they're, although it sounds like in the caller's instance, things pretty stable.
Yeah.
That card holds, you know, consistency. It's quite expensive and challenging to update it every time that somebody's information has changed.
I think it would cut down on errors. We would charge for... a shot my husband denied taking and signed the paper saying he didn't want it, and I had to dispute that charge at the doctor's office, and that would cut down. When they brought the shot in, you got the shot, they stamped the paperwork so there would not be errors in billing. I'm disputing something with Medicare right now because of a cold issue.
Well, we strive for, you know, 100%, you know, kind of a perfect work, as say, but it's so complicated that it's, I appreciate the fact that you take the time to look through your bills carefully, that you understand what you're being faced with and you call it to anyone's attention in the system. If it's not what is needed. So
but that's not the average person.
Well,
person looks at that bill and says, oh, I owe this month? Okay, I'll write the check out.
Right. Well,
and then you find out, oh, there's an error, so that means the hospital has to reimburse you.
Right. And I think what we found, and as we all look at what the changes in healthcare, particularly in those last 5 to 10 years, it has just gotten more complex.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's an enormous burden. And it's, please don't hear it as an excuse. It is our expectation. Particularly in administering anything, that we get it right the first time and every time.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to coding and some of this,
Well, the codes are all changed.
Correct. ICD-10 just went into effect a year ago. Radical change. So, again, please don't hear it as an excuse.
No.
We want to hear we have
now,
the
is there
quality.
One area in the hospital that's losing more money than the other, or is some of them more profitable?
It's uneven. You're right. When you sort of your implication that not every service is reimbursed at a high level, and as a smaller community hospital, often we don't provide the services where insurance companies tend to pay more. Some of those higher end, more invasive surgeries. So it is an uneven field, and we try to balance being here to take care of the community with what is sensible and sustainable. From a financial standpoint.
Yeah, and one of my last thing is that my husband was called in because of one of those reviews on a complaint on a doctor.
Okay.
And I just wanted that other caller to realize I do that, and
yes.
At that time he paid $10, and it was ironic that three of them out of the six people that were there complained about the same doctor.
Well, we have a very active process. We take those, quote, concerns or complaints very seriously. Again, from the earlier caller, I'm chagrined to hear that it didn't work or didn't appear to meet her needs in her case. But we understand that this is complicated, that there are different personalities involved, and there are some folks that we just have to remind and be watchful of that they balance good clinical judgment with a good patient interaction.
Well, have a good day, everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
Same to you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll take a break. I have a caller on hold. Hang in there, please.
Any Joe Schmo knows GEICO will work to save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not just ask the savings?
That's me, Joe's savings. I'm not literally $1 million, but I feel like it. Why? Because when Joe switched his car insurance at GEICO.com, his monthly rate went down and the savings went up. Now he uses the handy GEICO mobile app anytime to check out his policy perks. Talk about a win-win and two thumbs up. Man, I wish I had thumbs.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Napa know-how!
Cold weather slows your battery down. But if it's hot enough to cook breakfast on your hood, your battery could be toast. So pick up a Napa Legend battery today, and you'll get a $15 rebate Visa card by mail. That's 15 bucks back and a new battery in case your old one gets fried. That's Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, some exclusions apply. Offer expires 7/31/16.
It's the Little League Section 4 Championship Series on WINY 1350 AM. The Brooklyn Pomfret team took care of business on Tuesday night as they beat Windsor 9-1. They'll now turn their attention to the Norwich team on Thursday night at the Pomfret Little League Complex at 7 o'clock. If the Brooklyn Pomfret team can beat Norwich on Thursday, then they will host the championship game on Friday night, same time, 7 o'clock. The Little League Section 4 Championship Series on WINY is brought to you by First Alliance Lending.
This is Angie Viant-Jandro here to let you know that King Cadillac GMC is continuing the celebration of 80 years of doing business the right way. As we head into the dog days of summer, King is the place for the coolest deals around. Whether you need sales, service, or parts, we are here for you, just like we have been for 80 years. Our inventory is full of great deals, and whether it's new or pre-owned, we have the right vehicle for you. From a reliable 2004 F-150 for only $59.80 to a brand new 2016 Cadillac ATS for only $369.80 a month. King even has a 2014 Sprinter fifth wheel. It sleeps nine, has two slide outs, living room, kitchen, and much more for only $24,980. You see, we do have something for everyone. So come on down and let us show you our appreciation in helping King Cadillac GMC celebrate 80 years in business.
King Cadillac GMC, 139 Pomfret Street, Putnam. Online at kingcad.com.
With summer in full swing, it's hard to think about anything besides staying cool. But now is a good time to schedule your children's physicals. This is Missy Bonsall from Generations Family Health Center. We are accepting new and existing patients for school and sports physicals at both our Putnam and Danielson sites and can update immunizations at the same time. Our experienced clinicians will complete the exam and forms you need, as well as give you peace of mind that your child is healthy. Whether you have insurance or not, Generations is happy to provide you or your child the care that's needed. In addition to medical services, we also offer dental and behavioral health care in Putnam. It's a full range of services, all under one convenient roof. Find more information at genhealth.org. To make an appointment, call 860-963-7917 for Putnam and 860-774-7501 for our Danielson office. New patients of all ages are welcome.
Generations Family Health Center, Putnam, Danielson, Willimantic, Norwich. One call, one mission. Accessible health care for all ages.
Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Call the WINY Talk Show now and offer your opinion and ideas at 928-1350. Call now and be heard.
All right, we're back on the talk show with representatives of Day Kimball Hospital. I'm not going through everybody's names because I'm trying to save time. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
I'd like to ask Bob, what's the donations to the hospital, local charities? And should local charities start thinking Day Kimball first? I mean, charity should begin at home.
Right.
You know, we have some good cancer funds, and I don't know where that money goes to, but is it time for what's your percentage of charity compared to other hospitals, do you know?
Well, I think we're about 2%. Now, remember, we're a low-margin business to begin with. But the thing about Connecticut as a state is Connecticut is pretty responsive and open to Medicaid enrollment. So the bigger challenge we have is the number that are covered by the state insurance that is paying us less than our cost. So at the end of the day, the burden is sort of shared between those who truly have no money and those who are in a program that we're not getting properly paid for. I guess I'd like to take a moment, if I could, to sort of piggyback on Kristen Willis's comments, because I think the timing is so appropriate, and I appreciate you raising the question. No matter what the status is of Day Kimball organizationally, are we a part of a system or we're not, where are we heading? The funds that we receive through our development department go specifically for the purpose in which they are raised or they're given by the donor. Those cancer funds that you refer to, there's been a long history here, first under the Deary family, and then now it's the Day Kimball organization in total. Those go to offset payments that patients are facing in the course of cancer treatment that they're unable to cover themselves. So it goes directly to the residents of Northeast Connecticut to help them for their care. So, and that theme, that reality, that the monies that are given today for Day Kimball, they will always remain for the purpose of which they're given. And I would want to reassure the community that it's not going to some big system should that day come that we join someone.
All right, Jack, I'm into the last minute before the break.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. And I want to thank all of you for coming in this morning for the first hour, especially you, Kristen. I'd want you to know that, you know, the mic is open. You know, you want to come here, and, you know, this program certainly stands ready to help you as you reach out to the community for various concerns that the hospital has.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate
so, you know,
that
don't
much.
Don't hesitate giving us a call and coming down here. And I think, Danny, you know that the mic is always open for local leaders to come down and talk about stuff that's going on with you. And Bob, yeah?
I just want to, again, emphasize the important role that Danny plays on behalf of the organization. And from all the employees, we really appreciate it. And when they see Danny, they light up and they know they have an individual in an important position who listens. So we want to thank you, Danny.
Okay.
No, I thank you.
All right. Well, this is 1350 AM WINY in Putnam, Radio Free Putnam. It's been a pleasure to meet with you folks, and the second hour will be an open forum. We'll be right back.